Flayed like a champion today.
Flayed like a champion today.
Like the shirts they made up for this, do you see Notre Dame? Like they leaked out the Under Armour shirts, played like a champion today before the game that they were going to give out to Notre Dame if they had won.
Oh, so no, another, but those always exist.
Right. You know? Oh, I know. I know. There's there's the 1987 and 88 Brown Super Bowl shirts out there floating somewhere.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. In the 2007 Cavs championship over the Spurs.
But just the fact
they probably didn't make those.
Just the fact they were out there, with, especially with Lou Holtz.
Did you get any good merch? Did you get any championship merch? Did you get a little replica? Do they give you a replica trophy?
No.
You did so much for the team.
I know. Motivating them with the criticism of day and just kind of the great coverage all year. I mean, yeah, for sure.
The lone voice of criticism of Ryan Day is the fuel to his fire.
I know. I feel like I was the only one who said, you know, four straight losses to Michigan, that's not good. I brought the heat.
Yeah.
I said, I don't know, you got to do something in the playoffs or maybe your job's on the line. He probably saw that.
I thought it was reasonable, too, that even though he won this championship, you still wanted him fired.
I was the storm in the calm after the Michigan game. Everybody was like, oh, it's no big deal. We'll get him in the playoff. And I said, no, this is serious.
This is a big deal. Speaking of big deals, this is episode 20 of The Heart of the Rivalry. We started way back in August. That speaks to how long college football season is. But he is Dave Briggs, who has been dutifully covering our teams and most prominently our champion Ohio State Buckeyes. I'm your co-host, Phil Kaplan. We cover on The Heart of the Rivalry college football, specifically Toledo, Bowling Green, Michigan. But we are focused on the Buckeyes. Champs again, number seven, seventh heaven, I believe, one David Briggs wrote in his columns.
First of all, how cool is it that you have two teams from the North playing in
the Midwest?
Two teams from the Midwest in the heart of the South on a day where it was like 15 degrees in Atlanta. So just bringing the thunder, bringing the cold.
The Northern aggression.
Showing the playoff of Northern aggression just reaching its peak. The thing I did think was kind of interesting is, I don't know if you saw the rating, but it was only, I think, 22 million people for two of the biggest brands in college football last year's Michigan-Washington game, which Washington, that's not really a brand. You got 25 million, and it was not as close of a game. So I think that's a concern as the college football playoff moves forward. I think there's just college football fatigue at this point. We're already well into the NFL playoffs, so just end it sooner and just
how does the genie go back in the bottle? You got to foresee eventually there's going to be a champion that wins their conference championship game, and then you've got a team that has played 17 games, a college team that has played 17 games.
I think
that seems like
three
or four too many.
For sure. First of all, you got to get rid of the conference title games. I don't know if that'll ever happen because of the money they generate, but if it's at the expense of the bigger picture and devaluing your brand, I think you really have to take a look at it. But I think the first thing you have to do is just move the season up a week or two, at least a week, so then you're ending it a week earlier. You can't have the playoff game going more than a week or 10 days into January. It just can't happen. But as for the atmosphere, if there was less buzz nationally, certainly just an absolute awesome atmosphere there. Probably 60% Ohio State fans. And the roar after Jeremiah Smith caught that 57-yard bomb from Will Howard was
the unclenching that also happened.
Right. Seemed like Ohio State was turtling. You're playing not to lose. And then just like that, you call the all-time boldest, beautifulest, gutsiest winning play that you could ever imagine. And
best player to best player, man. That's what you got to do. Will Howard, I'm putting that out there. Mm-hmm. He was 13-13 at one point.
Yeah, the ball was in the just complete. Notre Dame section's going nuts. Ohio State section is silent, and they're puckering and nervous, and then the ball's in the air just
forever.
Everybody's like, oh, what's gonna happen if it falls incomplete? Notre Dame gets the ball back and has plenty of time to go down the field and tie it. But when that fell into his hand, just the relief and joy and jubilation from Ryan Day, the team, and the fans was just as loud of a roar as you could hear at a bowl game. So pretty cool. And unless you're a Michigan or Notre Dame fan, it's hard not to be happy for Ryan Day after that game. I mean, when he took his headset off and threw it a million feet into the air.
Great souvenir somebody got.
Yeah,
we found that person?
Yeah, that'd be good.
Okay.
It's just, you can tell the weight of the world was off his shoulders, and nobody deserved it more.
I totally agree. I don't know if I've ever been so happy for I just keep looking at the Go Blue that's written up there. It's all that I can think about.
For now, somebody making $10 million a year.
It just makes me happy for him and his family. Honestly, it does. Now, if he loses to Michigan against next year, if he loses to Michigan again next year, I think psychologically he's...
It's going to be tough for him. It's funny, the morning after press conference on Tuesday, somebody asked him, you know, now that you won the title, does that reduce the pressure a little bit next year? And he said, yeah, you try losing the first game next year. We'll see how that goes. And the first game, of course, is against Texas, which could be 1-2 at the Horseshoe. So
absolutely. I look forward to being there. Maybe we'll do a live show.
Yeah.
You know, who really impressed me, like I said, was Will Howard, both running and throwing and doing some game managing. And it took another great insight from David Briggs to help me see it, but he does have a little Craig Krenzel in him. He's not the microbiology major, but there's a lot of that Krenzel you can see in him once it's pointed out to you.
Yeah, more dynamic version of Craig Krenzel. He's not the greatest passer, not really a guy who projects as a pro quarterback, although like Krenzel, maybe he could be a late round pick and get a start for the Bears like Krenzel. But yeah, just so tough. I mean, when they needed him, he made the throws that mattered. When they needed him, he made the big runs, and just tough as hell. And it's crazy. He was only at Ohio State for 1 year, but it's hard to imagine somebody becoming a better leader and a better representative of Ohio State. And just the way he gained everybody in the team respected him, the way he earned that. It was never about him. He always said all the right things about winning for the seniors who came back and winning it. And I think I believe it was Lou Gehrig who said, like, I thank God every day for making me a Yankee. And Lou, Will Howard on Monday night after the game said, like, I can't believe God made me a Buckeye. And just
he
like,
does seem to really embody it.
I know.
He really
I
does.
Know. It was.
It seems genuine.
Right. And he's a... This could have gone down as an all-time, quote-unquote, mercenary team if they had just lost to Tennessee. And it's like, oh, this is the team that had the $20 million NIL payroll and brought in Caleb Downs and Will Howard and Quinshon Judkins and nothing to show for it. But
I think all that stuff is true, except we do have something to show for it. We're still the all-time
mercenary
team.
But the way they came together, I mean, these guys are part of Ohio State lore. I mean, Will Howard is a bigger part of Ohio State lore than C.J. Stroud, probably. I mean, I know that's... crazy, but it's true. I mean, when you win a national title,
elevated,
right?
Absolutely.
Urban Meyer used to always say it's kind of like a blood transfusion that kind of bonds these teams together forever. Obviously, bad teams never have reunions, but even teams that have won a Big Ten championship and lost to Michigan, they might have a reunion, but they're not celebrating it at the Shoe and said this team finished second in the Big Ten, number 8 in the country, and lost their third straight game to Michigan.
Well,
give a round of applause to the 2023 Ohio State Buckeyes.
Take your career for a test drive.
Right.
They're also not, they don't get the, their number is going to go up in the stadium.
Right.
And every time you're a player on that team, you say, that's my number.
And that's the argument to the Michigan game. People saying Michigan matters more than national title, but they don't put the year she beat Michigan on the facade of the stadium. They put the year she won the national title. And that's, this should never diminish the importance of the Michigan game, but to say this team has an asterisk or anything to apologize for or is diminished in any way is just absolute nonsense. I mean, this is one of the great Ohio State teams of all time and one of the greatest champions, maybe the most deserving champion. They beat the number...
Oh, yeah.
They finished number 1 in the AP poll. They beat the number 2 team, the number 3 team, the number 4 team, and the number 5 team.
Never been a run like
it. In the final AP poll. We've never seen anything like it. I guess you can't say they're the greatest. Tony Petitti, Big Ten commissioner, said this is the greatest run in college football history. I don't know if you can say that because of the loss to Michigan and the loss to Oregon. I don't know. You can't really put this team ahead of a 15-0 Michigan team last year.
Special postseason run, though.
But yeah, greatest postseason run ever. Also the first year of this system, but just an incredibly deserving champion. And what a year. Where were you watching?
So I was watching at my friend, family friend's house, and he was so into the spread that he was making. He was like,
not the point spread.
He was like, no. He was grilling lamb and prime rib and biscuits and, you know, he's really going to, he's like, the stuff is like not going to be ready. It's getting close to being game. He's like, we'll just pause it and then we'll start watching it once we're done eating. I was like, buddy, I'm sorry. We're just not doing it that way.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch this game. You know, and then they wanted to watch the Pat McAfee broadcast. which I gave in for a little bit, but I'm a traditionalist.
Right.
I need to hear my Kirk Herbstreit. So I watched it up there with some family friends, and I listened to Kirby, but I was told that Pat McAfee identified some information that I wanted, which is that Quinshon Judkins' legs were too big for his pants. And that's why he cut them into shorts. Did you see that?
I see.
It was wild.
I know. I've always thought, like, he's wearing, like, little bike shorts out there.
He is.
All these players, though, they used to have these big knee pads. I mean, none of them have knee pads. It's all cut off above there, and basically they wear no pads beneath the belt anymore. It's kind of crazy.
The skill players just do not.
I know.
A couple other
even
crazy...
the offensive linemen don't really wear
They have those big braces. Yeah. A couple stats that I found out after the fact that I thought
were... Are those the knee braces you wear playing pickup basketball?
Oh, those are like... they're like hydraulic. You can hear them. You can hear them engaging when I bend my knee. A couple stats I found out about. Travion Henderson never fumbled. Didn't realize that.
In his entire career?
Yeah.
I did not realize
that. Okay. And Emeka Egbuka ends his Ohio State career as having never really been the primary receiver, and yet he is Ohio State's all-time leading receiver.
Yep.
Isn't that amazing?
Unbelievable.
And he had kind of a bummer of a play. I don't know if you can... It didn't seem like his fault. Just like things were just kind of going Notre Dame's way at that point, and we were trying to stem them off. The only time I was really worried was after their initial 10-minute... drive or whatever, that was just like 18 plays. The only time Ohio State trailed before we got it back and then asserted our dominance. Yeah. But like
that was the
I was like, oh boy, this could be tough.
Yeah, for Notre Dame and Riley Leonard, their quarterback, that was the ultimate we're going to win or die trying drive. Because I mean, they were kind of willing to just turn Riley Leonard into a human cannonball. And after that drive, he kind of stumbled over to the sideline and vomited.
He kind of lost his lunch.
I don't know. I mean, far be it from us to speculate, but was that because he was woozy or tired? But either way, that's not a sustainable way to play football. I mean, just lowering your head and pounding it in, credit to him. I mean, what a tough guy. And that was an incredibly impressive drive. But I don't know. That was just kind of like, we're not going to protect our guys anymore. We're just throwing it all out there and see what happens. And Ohio State responded beautifully.
As an objective writer and reporter of the events that are going on, you're looking for the drama, which Notre Dame did provide at the end. As an Ohio State fan, deep in your fan's heart, did you think they were going to come back?
I don't have the fan bone, Phil. No, I don't know. I mean, you're trying to just stay level because you just need to be prepared to write whatever happens. I mean, what if Notre Dame? Yeah, it was.
Had Notre Dame forced it to overtime, I was going to be very concerned for.
I thought it didn't feel in the balance because you kind of felt like Ohio State would eventually their defense once when everything was on the line. I feel like they probably would have stood up and had a final. I mean, Notre Dame still needed a touchdown and a 2-point conversion. The odds of that was kind of like
slim.
You'd have to hit a 4 or 5 legs on a parlay for Notre Dame to end up winning that game.
Because which legs?
Did,
tell me which legs.
Even if they did score, Ohio State would have had time to come back and maybe tie it or go ahead. But yeah, I mean, it was absolutely in the balance. Ohio State, that Emeka Egbuka play you said, if that doesn't happen, Ohio State rolls.
Yeah.
Maybe if they don't get conservative with the play calling, Ohio State still rolls.
Yep. Will Howard misses one throw the whole night, happens on the third down.
Right,
you got to kick the ball back.
They probably roll if that doesn't happen. It was to Jeremiah Smith, right?
Yeah, that short out. Right, he just threw it too hard to the sidelines.
Right, yeah. So, yeah, it was in the balance, and that's what makes the Jeremiah Smith play, Will Howard to Jeremiah Smith, all the more iconic. And it's, again, to think that last week or 2 weeks ago at the Cotton Bowl, we have one of the 3 or 4 greatest defensive plays in Ohio State history. Now we have one of the 3 or 4 most iconic offensive plays in Ohio State history. We'll be remembering Howard to Smith forever. I mean, I think that's the...
As a non-touchdown play,
right.
That is one of the most significant plays in Ohio State history.
Will you remember that just as much as Jack Sawyer's rumbling touchdown return?
Oh, I know that that play sealed the championship.
Yeah.
But I think Sawyer, the Sawyer score...
More significant.
I think it lives on in the memory as a more impactful play.
Sure, sure.
It was, I mean, we're gonna be tied. Texas is on the one. It's pretty cool. It's pretty been a pretty cool season.
It was a fun season for the Buckeyes, for sure.
It was a fun season for all of our teams. I thought, you know, cool stuff happened in Toledo, cool stuff happened in Bowling Green, cool stuff happened in Michigan. They beat Ohio State. They beat Alabama twice in a year. You know, so all our teams really performed exemplary. But there can be only one champion, and I'm thrilled both for our show and personally that it's this edition of the Ohio State Buckeyes. What do we think about next year?
Well, they're already the betting favorite, Phil. You put your bet in?
We usually wrap up with predictions, so we don't even know who's going to be playing. Give me some, Ohio State beats Texas by, or Texas wins by.
Yeah, I guess we have to predict the openers for all. I'd say Texas 27, Ohio State 20, Ryan Day right back on the hot seat.
Right on the hot seat. Back to 11.
That is an interesting question, though. I mean, if they go 9-3 next year and lose to Michigan, I kind of think everybody will kind of be – I don't think there will be anywhere near the apocalyptic meltdown from after the Michigan game this year. Even though it's the fifth straight loss to Michigan, you still just hung the banner.
The chip buys you at least 2 years, even at a place as rabid as Ohio State.
Yeah, you can't go 9-3 then 8-4.
Do you remember when they ran Ed Orgeron out of town?
Oh, I know.
And they said to him, "We're going to give you $10 million to leave." Mm-hmm. He said, "What door you want me going out of, and when?"
Have you ever seen the narrative turn for a coach more than Ryan Day, in any level of pro or high school or college sports? I mean, he was legitimately one bad game away from Tennessee.
Any of those games. Well, I think any of them.
Yeah, but I mean, the Tennessee game was, if they had lost the Tennessee game with 30,000 Tennessee fans in there.
Minimum.
Just the optics of it, and just, even if Ohio State wanted him, his continued employment may have been untenable. And then 4 games later, he's an Ohio State legend. He's one of 5 Ohio State coaches to win a national title.
They're working on the bronze bust.
Right. He's going to get a big extension, probably $12 million a year. It just casts his career in a completely different light, lends a new appreciation. I was kind of talking like we did last week. Kind of reminds me of Phil Mickelson a little bit, who had all these wins for so many years, but he was could never win the big one, the major. And now the conversation is going to shift from the few games that Ryan Day could not win to all that he has. And now that he has a championship, what can you say other than can't beat Michigan? And I know that's a big big asterisk for fans, but in this new era, it's hard to have a better resume than Ryan Day. I mean, he's one of 3 active coaches with a national title, along with Kirby Smart and Dabo Swinney at Georgia and Clemson. And through 80 games, his record, 70-10 percentage-wise, is behind only 2 schmoes named Walter Camp and Newt Rockne. I'd never really heard of those guys, but apparently they were legends. And to be in that company, pretty crazy.
You brought another great name into my lexicon that I did not realize, but preceding Woody Hayes was one Wes Fessler, a name that I did not know about, who quit. Why, Dave? Why did he quit coaching the Ohio State Buckeyes?
Because he couldn't beat Michigan, and the pressure he reportedly cited the pressure of coaching Ohio State was too great.
That's in 1950.
Right. 1950. Ohio State fans were already single-issue voters even back then. I mean, it was, Well, think about this. 1948, he has them number one in the country when they play Michigan.
I'm totally familiar with the 48 season.
No, I'm sorry. 1948, they win the Rose Bowl. 1949, number one going into the Michigan game, and they lose. And it's just it's beating Michigan was every bit as big back then. And the pressure, people talk about the modern times. It's no different. You just have social media.
Ask Wes Fessler.
Yeah, you have social media cranking it up. But yeah, ask Wes Fessler.
It's a fun one to say.
But he didn't have the national title. So Ryan Day now exalts above Wes Fessler into the Aries. Buckeyes legend.
He's ethereal now.
He's more than just
a man bound to the physical plane.
No matter what happens.
He is a legend beyond himself.
No matter what happens next, Day is a legend forever.
I heard his personality described as smaller than life. I thought that was an interesting take.
That's interesting. I mean, he is a very normal guy.
Yeah.
He doesn't command the room. Like Urban had a rock star persona and just a very badass quality.
He did.
Not very approachable.
Nick Saban, same way.
Well, think about Can you name another star coach? Like the Tuesday, I think Ryan Day's greatest strength after the Michigan game was just his incredible humility. I mean, the Tuesday after that game, he stands in front of the team room. It's just him and the players, no coaches, no staff, no nothing. And he stands there and basically takes it in a heated team meeting for 3 hours. And he accepts responsibility. He reportedly told him, look, I messed up. And they hashed it out. Offense was kind of coming at the defense, or defense was coming at the offense. I mean, for that debacle against Michigan and I guess both just division, and everybody was confused. And it was apparently very heated, very spirited, very air clearing, but very needed meeting. And name another star coach who would have stood up there and taken it from
falling on the sword like that
for 3 hours. Yeah. And then
with the season, with still more season to go,
respond with that humility and purpose and just turn into an absolute machine, the team and everybody rallying around Day and each other, and just a clinic in leadership.
One of my all-time favorite Ohio State seasons for its highs and lows. I think the asterisk makes it kind of funny in a way. That makes it sort of not better, but more outstanding.
Yeah.
It will stand out a little more and have a little more piqued interest because of that. And speaking of favorite moments, did 20 episodes. What was your favorite heart of the rivalry moment?
Hard to pick.
They're all
it's like
full
choosing
of so
between
many
your kids.
Yeah.
I don't know. The post Michigan show was a fun one.
It was. I liked the. We did that live spot. That was pretty fun.
Yeah, that was fun for
that
sure.
Was good.
Took the
was good.
Heart of the rivalry on the road, but yeah, overall, good season. I don't know if we quite met the moment as well as the Buckeyes, but we were kind of. This is the ring finger right here.
I know.
I feel like our season is more like Toledo's. We had some great moments, had some low moments. So not.
Are
really.
You saying this was a rebuilding year?
No. But we had some incredible highs. The win over Mississippi State, that was show 7. Then we had the win over Pittsburgh in 6 overtimes. That was show 15. And then we cap it off with a lot of momentum coming into next year. So. All in all, great year.
Can you
year.
Believe how long ago Toledo's bowl game feels like?
I know. That's a month ago. It's crazy.
That's so crazy. He's Dave Briggs. I'm Phil Kaplan. This has been the Heart of the Rivalry. We will see you in August. Good season, Dave.
Thanks, Phil.
You're a champion.
You too.
You know what?
Played like a champion this year.
You know what champions...